And one of the issues that revolves around the Bris Milah is the following. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, Bayom Hashmini Yimol Besar Ulaso, that we have to perform a Bris Milah on the eighth day. So the Gemara tells us that from here we learn that a Bris Milah has to take place only Bayom, during the day, but it cannot be done at night. And the Gemara Megillah Daf Chaf tells us the rule in general. When we have mitzvahs that have to be performed during the day, such as shaking lulav, such as reading the Megillah on Purim, or many other mitzvahs that have to be done during the day, Zeha Klal, says the Gemara, Davar Shemitzvasa Biyom, anything that has to be performed during the day is kasher kal hayom, is able to be performed throughout the duration of the entire day. However, Davar Shemitzvasa Balayla, when you have a mitzvah which in its nature is supposed to be performed at night, kasher kol halayla, that is able to be done the whole night. So as much as that is the case, and as much as the Gemara tells us that you're allowed to perform those mitzvahs the entirety of the day, the Gemara Maseches Yuma Daf Chav Ches qualifies this statement a little bit with regard to Bris Milah. So the Gemara says, Vayom Hashmini Yimol, Melamed Shekol Hayom Kasher Lamila. Yes, it's true, you're allowed to do a Bris Milah throughout the entire duration of the day. However, says the Gemara's reason, Magdimin Lemitzvahs. We learn from Avram Avinu, when he was on his way to do the Bris Milah, that there's this idea of Zrizim Magdimin Lemitzvahs, one should do it as early as possible. And it says, Vayashkem Avram Baboker, Vayachava Sheshchamara, I'm sorry, not when he was doing the Bris Milah, when he was going to the Akedah. So we're told that Avram Avinu gets up early in the morning, and from here we learn that it's important that we try our best to do Zrizim Magdimin Lemitzvahs, to perform the mitzvah as early as possible. And this is the way the halacha is quoted, is recorded in Shulchan Aruch as well. In Ilchas Milah, Siman Reish Samach Beis, the Mechaber writes, Kol Hayom Kasher Lemila, one is able to perform the Bris Milah throughout the entire day. Ella, however, Shehazrizim Akdimin LeMitzvahs, one should try their best to do the mitzvah at the earliest opportunity during the day, and not wait until later in the day to perform the mitzvah. So there's a major controversy that developed in the mid-1800s, between many, many great gedolim of the time, and it was in some way a very major familial dispute. So what I refer to is the dispute in the family of Rabbi Kiva Eiger. What was that all about? So the great Rabbi Kiva Eiger was really the Gadol Hador in his time, in the beginning of the 1800s, and Rabbi Kiva Eiger was one of the very staunch opponents of the Hasidus, of the movement of Hasidus. He was very opposed to everything they were doing, and so was his son, Rabbi Shlomo Eiger, and so was his grandson, Rabbi Leibele Eiger. So Rabbi Leibele Eiger grew up in Germany together with his grandfather, together with his father, and he grew up with this mindset that Hasidus was not at all for us. At some point in his life, he became somehow very enthralled, very enthused by the Kutzker Rebbe, and he suddenly turned away from his family's tradition, and he decided to become a chassid of the Kutzker Rebbe. He later on became a chassid of the Meha Shiloach as well, the Ishbitzer, and he himself turned into one of the very prominent chassidish rebbes on his own. Rabbi Leibele Eiger, the grandson of Rabbi Kiva Eiger, what a disgrace that Rabbi Kiva Eiger had a grandson. It's a joke, it's not a disgrace at all, but it was a major issue at the time that Rabbi Kiva Eiger, who was so opposed to the movement, had a grandson who later on became one of the leaders of the movement and had many, many chassidim. So there are a lot of interesting stories about things that took place between the grandfather and the grandson, and it's not the time to go into all of them, although many of them are very interesting. But here, with regard to Bris Milah, this was one particular issue that caused major controversy in the family itself and amongst many other gedolim as well. So what happened? As a great Hasidish Rebbe, Rabbi Leibele Eiger decided that his deep affection and his overwhelming love for performing mitzvahs, as many Hasidim have, and his fervor led him to always make sure that every mitzvah he performed had to be done b'hachada rabba. He always had to make sure that he would purify himself and he would prepare himself very well and he would perfect himself throughout the day and whatever levels of sanctity he can reach and whatever he can think about in his head. And he wouldn't perform the mitzvah until he was completely ready and prepared to perform the mitzvah properly. And not only that, it was well known that the great Rabbi Kiva Eiger, his grandfather, whenever there was a Bris Milah, he loved to do the Bris Milah not only to serve as the Mohel, but he also served as the Sandik as well, because we know the practice is that you're supposed to be Mechabed, a big Talmud Chacham, to be the Sandik. So they not only made sure that Rabbi Kiva Eiger was the Sandik, because everybody wanted him to do that, but he also made sure that he was going to be the Mohel, which led to a major question that it says the Sandik is supposed to sit, but the Mohel is supposed to stand when performing the Bris Milah. So how can you sit and stand at the same time? An interesting question. But regardless, that's what the great Rabbi Kiva Eiger used to do, and that's what his grandson, Rabbi Leibele Eiger, used to do also. Here you had this great Sadik, Rabbi Leibele Eiger, who wanted to be the Sandik and the Mohel at the same time. But the problem was that he wouldn't be involved in a Bris Milah until he went through all the preparations, which sometimes would take a very long time. And he felt that he had the right to do that and to delay the Bris Milah, even hours and hours, and even till way after Chatzos Hayom, because he felt, and he said the following, Ech efshar lekabel pnei Eliyahu HaNavi. Don't we all know that we say at a bris milah that Eliyahu HaNavi stands by our side, and Eliyahu HaNavi is present on the occasion of a bris milah? So he said, how can I face Eliyahu HaNavi? How can I greet Eliyahu HaNavi? Im ein machinim lo makom v'neshama. If I don't prepare for him a special place in my neshama before he arrives. And therefore, said Rabbi Leib Eger, it is completely justified for me to spend many, many hours during the day preparing for the bris milah. And even if the consequence is going to be that the milah will take place later in the day, it's too bad, because that's what I need to do. So this aroused the curiosity of many in the community. And he was living at the time in Lublin. And the Lublin Rav at the time was Rabbi Shua Heschel Ashkenazi, who was not at all a chassid, and who was very opposed, who was very upset by this practice. And he was upset that his followers, that his balabatim, were being mechabed Rabbi Leib Eger to be the moel, when it was violating the principle that the Gemara says of Zrizim Akdimon LeMitzvah. So he lets out a decree and he makes a public announcement and he says, this is absolutely wrong. Nobody's allowed to use Rabbi Leib Eger as a mole anymore, and no one is allowed to use him as a sandik anymore. And although he's a great sadik, he's violating the principle outlined in Shulchan Aruch and in the Rambam. And therefore he said that no one's allowed to go along with this, and we have to make sure that we follow what the Shulchan Aruch says, that the bris milah is done b'zrizim akdimon l'mitzvah, as early as possible. It's supposed to be done in the day, and therefore one cannot wait, one cannot have Rabbi Leib Eger be involved in the bris milah. And anyone who does, he said, anyone who doesn't listen to my announcement is called an avarian. You're called a sinner, you're called a transgressor. So now you have this major fight in the community. One rabbi says this is the way we're doing it, the other rabbi says no, we can wait as long as we want. And this created a major sense of communal discord, a major disagreement, a major dispute in the community. And it got so far that there were followers of the communal rabbi, Rab Ashkenazi, who went to the local authorities and started to divulge and fabricate all kinds of stories about him. They wanted to get him arrested. It was a wild story. It was very contentious at the time. And they were spreading rumors about him, saying that not only is he deferring the bris milah to be later in the day, but he's even delaying it that it should be at night, which obviously is not permissible to do it by Laila, and the story wasn't true. He never waited till after Shkia to do the bris, but this is the way stories start, and this is the way Rabbanim are sometimes slandered, and that is what happened. Now, Rabbi Leib Eger decided that he had to defend himself, but he wasn't sure how to do so. So he sends a letter to many of his contemporaries. The Ger Rebbe was one. He sent the Rebbe to the Nefesh Chaya, who was also one of the great Gedolim at the time. He sends a letter to his uncle, Reb Shimon Sofer from Krakow, who was a son of Reb Akiva Eger as well, and Reb Tzadok HaKoy Milublin. And he asked all of them, am I correct in my practice? Should I continue to do what I do, even though everyone is going and spreading rumors about me, even though they came out with a public decree that no one's allowed to use me anymore? Or should I give up? Should I listen to the rabbi of my community? So this was a major discussion that began in the middle of the 1800s. So the Nefesh Chaya responded to him, and he wrote a letter that was signed by many other Rabbanim as well, defending Rabbi Leib Eger's practice and saying that there was nothing wrong with it at all. Number one, he says, even if you want to say that it's not right that somebody is not performing the bris milah early in the morning because of Zrizim Akdimon LeMitzvos, how can you call that person an avarian? How can you say that person is a sinner if they don't do that? You haven't violated a mitzvah. It's not like I was supposed to shake lulav and the whole day pass through without doing the mitzvah that I was supposed to do. It's not like I had a mitzvah to make sure to lay in the Megillah and I have not performed the mitzvah and now Purim passed by. That's called an avarian. But over here, I still have time during the day to do the mitzvah. So how can you call me an avarian just because I violated the principle of Zrizim Akdimon LeMitzvos? That's not calling someone an avarian. That was the first point of dispute in which they defended Rabbi Leib Eger. But even past that, they said that they felt that there was a lot of room to argue that perhaps Rabbi Leib Eger was correct. And that was based on the following. They say the only time when we would argue that someone has to make sure to do the mitzvah as early as possible because we're concerned maybe the day will pass them and they won't remember to do it, like the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos. One has to say Kriya Shema in the first half of the night because we're concerned. If you forget, maybe you'll fall asleep and then you won't remember to say Kriya Shema at all. And we have many instances that the Gemara discusses where we have a Takanas Chachamim. So too over here, maybe you'll argue that one is supposed to perform the Bris Milah before Chatzos Hayom, because if you don't, maybe you'll go through the entire day and forget about performing your mitzvah, which would make you into an Avarian. So the Nefesh Chaya argued, maybe that's true, but not when you're talking about Rabbi Leib Eger. Maybe the only time the Chachamim were concerned is when you have somebody who's preoccupied, when you have somebody who's distracted because Their mind is so absorbed and engaged in other things that they're doing. But here, where Rav Leib Eger is absorbed only in the mitzvah of Bris Milah, and his mind is only solely focused on performing the mitzvah, he's not going to make the mistake and forget to do the Bris Milah in time. So we have no concern there. And therefore, he writes, he wouldn't think that it makes any sense to say that there, one has to make sure to do the bris before Chatzos Hayom, because in such a case, when somebody is only delaying it because they want to perfect themselves, because they want to make their minds ready and prepared to perform the mitzvah properly, in such a case, he says, he would not have a concern. He brings a proof to this idea from the Gemara Maseches Pesachim Daf Yud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that on Erev Pesach, the Chachamim instituted that there's an Isser Achila, you're not allowed to eat chametz already before the zman that the Torah outlines itself. And yet Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if someone forgot to do Bedikas chametz, and now it's Erev Pesach, and they realize they forgot to do the mitzvah Bedika, Rabbi Yehuda says, they should go around the house and perform the Bedika now. What do you mean? Aren't you concerned that maybe if I'm doing the Bedika and I find some Cheerios on the floor, I'm going to eat them? Says Rabbi Yehuda, what do you mean? Why would a person do that? If I'm going and searching out for the chametz, it means I understand that this is not a time to eat it. And therefore, because I'm absorbed in the mitzvah itself, I'm not going to make a mistake with regard to this mitzvah itself. And that was the argument put forth by the Nefesh Chaya and by many others that Rav Leib Eger's practice was okay. And he ends off the letter and he says, "Bishvil hachana lemitzvah." He says, in my opinion, if somebody is delaying a bris milah because they are adequately preparing for the bris milah itself, Yuchal laham shech yoser, you're allowed to continue on with your preparations. V'yoches hatzadik darko, and you, Rav Leib Eger, should continue to do your own way. U'tahar yadayim yosef ometz, lasos kedarka bakodesh val yochosh limarshiim. And you should not pay attention to your critics. Don't listen to your detractors. Don't listen to those who oppose your practice. You should continue to do what you do, and don't worry about all those who are upset by that which you are doing. Now, although this was the opinion of some, many, many others opposed to him. And one of those was Reb Shimon Sofer, who was the uncle of Reb Leib Eger. And he was put in a very uncomfortable position. On the one hand, his nephew was doing something, and his nephew was a great tzaddik. On the other hand, he himself was not so fond of all these great ideas that his nephew had of being the Chassidish Rebbe and following all the practices of the Chassidim and doing so much hachana. So he gets into a whole discussion as to whether or not he felt this was a proper practice. And he says that he really did not believe that this was such a proper practice. And he says, although the Gemara writes in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Beis that there are times when one is allowed to delay a mitzvah in order to perform the mitzvah behidur rav later on, if you want to perform the mitzvah with more of a hidur mitzvah later on in the day, you're allowed to delay the mitzvah a little bit, he says, that's only with regard to a chumrah or a hidur that is mentioned in the Gemara or in the Rishonim. But he says here, you made up your own hachanos, you made up your own hidurim. Who told you what you're supposed to be thinking about? Where did you get all these ideas from? And therefore he writes, you cannot argue that this is a clear justification to allow yourself to delay a bris milah when after all you made it all up yourself. So this is the argument that he gets into, and he sends a letter to his nephew that he's very unhappy about what he did. But then he writes, well, in the end of the day, he is my nephew, and in the end of the day, he is a great tzaddik, so let me try and justify his practice a little bit. So he justifies it by quoting a passage from the Medrash, where we're told that in the days that the Jewish people were in the Midbar, we are told that Moshe Rabbeinu did the Bris Milah on the Jews, and Aaron HaKohen performed the Priya, and Yoshua ben Nun was there as well, taking care of the Bris Milah as well. Writes the Reb Shimon Sofer, he says, how was it possible that Moshe and Aaron were able to perform the Bris Milah for the entire Jewish people, all at 6 o'clock in the morning when a Bris Milah is supposed to be done? Hard to imagine such a thing. And therefore he says it must be, it seems, that one has a right to delay a Bris Milah in order to have a great tzaddik involved in the Bris, in order to have a great tzaddik involved in doing whatever he has to do, and it would not be a violation of Zerizim Akdim and the Mitzvahs, because that is a pure justification, that is a good reason to do so. And that is the conclusion that he comes to, that he thinks there was nothing wrong with his nephew's practice. However, he says in the end, although I feel he's correct himself, he says we still have to be careful because not everybody is as great as my nephew. Not everybody knows how to do the mitzvah properly, and therefore not everybody has the right justification to be allowed to delay the mitzvah. And maybe someone's going to see him doing it late, they're going to draw the wrong conclusion and do it late on their own when they don't have the same excuse as he has. And therefore he says, I still side with the rabbi of Lublin, and I feel this is something that we should not allow in our communities because you never know where it's going to lead to. And this is really the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chayei Adam, and the Stechemed writes as well that he was very upset in his community. The Stechemed has the following passage when he talks about Bris Milah. He says, Tzar li al haminag eza anashim b'mekom oselu. He says, it bothers me that there are many who have a practice, Shema'achrim hamila ad karov lechatzi hayom, as sheyiskabtu hamazumanim. He says there are people who delay a bris mila until after chatzos hayom, because they want that more people should be around. Let's say we do it during lunch hour at work, so more people will have the opportunity to join us. They're not running out to work. And he says, ve'ein lahem amashi yismochu, he says, this is not a clear enough justification to allow them to delay it. Zrizim akdim on the mitzvahs dictates that we should try and perform the mitzvah as early in the day as possible. Now, it's all within reason. It doesn't mean you have to wake up for the earliest shachris in the day, and it doesn't mean you have to have the bris mila right after the vasikin minim, but it means one should certainly make sure that it is not pushed off till after chatzi hayom. One should not push it off more than necessary. And therefore, the major dispute that broke out in the 1800s is one that was a big family dispute, but in essence, it was a real major dispute amongst many, many gedolim of the time, whether or not this would be something that we would allow, or perhaps it's something that we should absolutely not allow, because you never know how far it's going to be taken, and maybe someone is going to inappropriately use the heter in a case where it really is not justifiable.